deserves that special. Hebrews chapter 13. This morning we're beginning a new study entitled The Sacrifice of Praise. And I don't know about you guys, but I love this time of year. I love the weather. And I'm already getting a little bit excited. We had a little preview the other day. Melissa made a pumpkin pie. Maybe one of my favorite things about this time of year. But it wasn't a regular pumpkin pie. This pumpkin pie had cream cheese in it. It was a cheesecake pumpkin pie. Yeah, see, now you know. I love this time of year. I love everything about it. And I'm excited already about the holidays. Brother Ryan knows this. It's officially time to start the Christmas music now. That's right. If you didn't know that, as soon as Halloween's over, Christmas music comes on. As a matter of fact, we've already been doing that at the house a little bit. I just love this time of year. I love to celebrate what God's done the past year. I love to celebrate what He's done in my life. And we need to have that kind of heart, not just this time of year, but all the time, to celebrate, to rejoice, to praise God for who He is and for what He's done in our lives. And so that's the heart behind this message, and Lord willing, the next several weeks we're going to study about this sacrifice of praise. As I studied and prepared and thought about what the Lord would have me to preach, I just want to tell you, I'm trying to learn from Brother Rick. He told me not to try to preach the whole Bible every time, and so I'm trying to apply that because I wanted to preach all of Hebrews chapter 13, but as I wanted to focus on verse 15, that was what was really on my heart, and as I began to work on fleshing that out, I have this message that's probably too long for today, so I sure didn't want to preach the whole chapter, but I want to encourage you to read chapter 13 and really the whole book of Hebrews, but really chapter 13, just at the heart of it is this sacrifice of praise. At the heart of it is just who God is and what He's done for us, and He is so good. And we want to honor Him today and every day. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 13, we're going to read verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. I lost some of you when I said I had a lot to preach today, didn't I? Some of you already checked out. You're like, I'm done. I'm checking out. Don't check out. It's good stuff from the Word of God today. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this privilege to come and to sing Your praises today, to rejoice in fellowship with Your people, and to gather around Your Word. I pray You bless Your Word today and help me to preach it exactly as You'd have me to, Father. I pray that You would convict our hearts. Lord, with this many people in a building together, there is no doubt someone of the age of accountability who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never repented of their sin and believed on You, called on You, and received the gift of eternal life. And I pray, Lord, today, if there's a man or woman, a boy or a girl in this service who's never been saved, never been born again, I pray today it'd be the day they'd say yes to You, that they would repent, believe on You, and call on You, and have faith in Christ alone for salvation. And Lord, for all of us who are saved, today convict our hearts. Help us to learn about this sacrifice of praise, that we might worship You in the way that would please You today and every day of our lives. Lord, no matter what our circumstances, we have so much to give thanks for, and may we always honor You with the fruit of our lips. Lord, please bless and help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. I heard a story some time ago about a man who had visited the Vietnam Memorial there in Washington, D.C. Have any of you ever been there to the memorial? Several of you have done that, and I've been there, and it's a sobering experience to go and look at the memorials there, not just Vietnam, but all the different memorials. But the Vietnam Memorial stands out in my mind. As of 2013, there were 58,286 names on the wall, over 58,000 names. And a pastor and some other people were there visiting and touring the place there. And as they came along, they found a man who was leaned up against the wall, and he had his finger placed on one name, and he had tears coming down his face. And the pastor went over to him. He said, put his arm around him. He said, I'm a pastor. Would it be all right if I prayed with you? And the guy said, well, yeah, that'd be all right. So he prayed with him, and he And the man began to tell him, he said, I served in Vietnam, and this man right here. So we were under fire, and this man stood between me and the firefight, and he took the bullet that was meant for me. He saved my life. He said, it's the very least that I could do to come every year and give thanks for his sacrifice. Very least that I could do. And so every year he went, he remembered, he wept, and he gave thanks for the man who died for him. Well, I want to tell you something, dear friend. We have one who died for us.
Yeah. Amen.
We have one that took the bullet of sin for us. Yeah. There is one who suffered outside the gate to pay for our sin. There is one who bled and shed his precious blood to cover our sin. There is one who died and yet he rose again. And we ought to honor him not just one day out of the year, but every moment of every day. We ought to give thanks to his name. We want to learn some principles today, some keys, if you will, to this sacrifice of praise. And when you think about sacrifice, I don't know about you, when I think about sacrifice, my mind goes to the Old Testament sacrifice. My mind goes to the altars that were erected, the altars that were built, and to the animals whose blood was shed and whose bodies were burned on the altars, those sacrifices that were made by death. But the Bible tells us some things a little bit about sacrifice. You remember how that David had sinned against God with Bathsheba and how he had sinned against God with sending Uriah to die. Well, in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, King David said in Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And even in that day of sacrifice, David understood something about the heart of God. He understood that it's not about this outward thing. It's about what's going on in here. And when we've sinned against God, God wants us to have a broken spirit before God. He wants us to have a contrite spirit, a contrite heart, that we realize that we're not worthy of the good things that God has done for us. We're not worthy of his mercy. We're not worthy of his grace, otherwise it wouldn't be mercy and it wouldn't be grace. And so we got to have this heart. When you think about those Old Testament sacrifices, you think about the heart that David had, and I think about what God calls us to in Romans chapter 12. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." And we're to give our lives to the Lord. And that's what God wants. He wants us to live for the one who died for us.
Right. Amen.
The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And if he died for us, then we ought to live for him. That henceforth, from this moment on, we would live for the one who died for us and rose again. So let's get in these principles. We're just going to break down verse 15 piece by piece this morning as we think about the sacrifice of praise. What we are giving to God is praise. We're giving him honor. We're giving him glory. We are worshiping him with our lives. And we'll see in a moment with our words, our mouths, our lips. But it's a sacrifice. It's a giving of something to God. That's what a sacrifice is. When you give something up. We'll learn about that now. Number one, if you want to take notes this morning, write down the word power. Power. Now, when we're talking about this power, I want you to look at the two first words of our text here. He says, "by him." I want you to understand something this morning. We can't do anything on our own.
Yeah. Amen.
We are completely and utterly dependent on God. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today forever." Who is it that we are to give this sacrifice of praise? Well, it's by him. Verse 8 tells us, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." That's who we're talking about here in Hebrews 13. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by him that we give this sacrifice of praise. Well, how are we do it? We're to do it by him. John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Without Jesus Christ, we can't do anything. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Acts 17, 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Without Jesus, we don't exist. Without Jesus, we don't live. Without Jesus, we can't do anything. And it's by him that we give this sacrifice of praise. Charles Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we could do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, like coals without fire, we are useless. And it's good for us to remember today that the power to live, the power to exist, the power to give this life of sacrifice of praise to God is entirely dependent on God. There are a lot of people in our country today that are self-made men. They think that they've accomplished everything they have on their own. They think that they have gotten it by their own two hands. And I want you to understand something today, friend. Whatever you have, if it's good, it comes from God.
Yep.
Whatever you can do it only by the grace of God.
Amen.
And so we see the power. Number two, write down the purpose. The purpose. Now, when I'm talking about purpose here, I mean our motive. But what's our reason behind this thing? Why do we give this sacrifice of praise? You'll notice we see by him, therefore. And when we see the word therefore, there's a reason it's there. So you got to look back and see what it's there for. And if you go back in Hebrews 13, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, the purpose, it's because of his sacrifice, and it's because of his promise. What's his sacrifice? The sacrifice is that God's only Son, the only begotten Son of God, left the glories of heaven, and he humbled himself and became a man. He's a little baby born in a manger, a lowly birth. And he lived a lowly and a humble life, and he lived that life without sin. He never sinned, not one single time. He never even had a bad thought. How about this, parents? Jesus never backtalked his mom and dad. Never even thought about it. Jesus was completely, perfectly sinless, and yet he willingly gave himself up to the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious rulers of that day. He allowed himself to be imprisoned by Pilate and the Roman soldiers. He allowed himself to go through the scourging. He allowed them to put that crown of thorns on his head,
right,
the blindfold on his eyes. You ever thought about this? You remember when they beat Jesus when he was blindfolded? And they said, prophesy unto us who it is that smote you. You ever thought about the fact that Jesus knew who it was? He knew exactly who it was. He knew everything that they had ever done in their life and ever would do. You realize that he could have said, at any moment he could have said their name, and he could have said their mama's name and their daddy's name and their grandpappy's name, and he could have told them everything about themselves and things about themselves they didn't even know, and yet he took it all. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He was as a lamb before the slaughter. He was quiet. He said nothing. He allowed it all to happen, and he allowed them to force him up that road to Golgotha, and he allowed them to drive the nails in his hands and his feet, and he allowed them to lift himself up bloody and naked and shameful for our sin, for my sin and your sin. He allowed all that to happen. Why do we offer the sacrifice of praise? Because of his sacrifice.
Amen.
Because of what he did for us.
Yes, sir.
He didn't have to do that. He did it because he loves us. The sacrifice of praise, friends, it's because of his sacrifice, it's because of his promise, and as if all that wasn't enough, he has prepared us a continuing city. What's that mean? It means that God has prepared a place in heaven for us that will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and it will never, ever end. And it's a glorious city without sin and sorrow and death. And he has made a place for you and me there because of his sacrifice. What's our purpose? Why should I praise Jesus? How about this? Why shouldn't I praise Jesus?
Amen.
Our purpose. Number three, the presentation. By Him, power. Therefore, purpose. Let us offer the presentation. Number three, the presentation. This idea of offering, it just simply means to give up. We see this concept in a couple of different verses in the New Testament. A couple I want to point out to you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's about giving spiritual sacrifices. It's not about getting some livestock and slitting their throat and pouring out the blood and burning it on an altar. No, no, no. It's about a spiritual sacrifice. It's about a heart and life of devotion to Jesus Christ. There's a little boy, and the preacher talked a lot about how important it is to give to the Lord and be a good steward and give what you have to Jesus, and he was convicted about that. So when they passed the plate around, he realized he had no money. He was a little boy. He didn't have any allowance, and he didn't have a job, and he didn't have anything to give, but he did do this. He got this in his heart. When the plate passed by his pew, he set it down on the ground, and he stood inside of it. Isn't that good? Well, I don't have a penny, but I can give myself. You know, that's what the Lord wants from all of us. I'm really not advocating that you literally stand in our offering plates. But if you need to do that to solidify that commitment in your mind, you go right ahead. We'll pass it around again if you want to stand in it. That'll be all right. But boy, we need to solidify that in our hearts and our minds today, that I belong to Jesus. I'm His. Let us offer the presentation of our lives to Him. What does it mean to offer? What does it mean to give something up? Well, James 2:21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, how did he offer Isaac? Well, my Bible says that he bound him and he laid him on the altar. He had the fire wood prepared, and he was ready. He had the knife in his hand. He was ready. Well, what was he going to do? How was he to offer his son up? Well, he gave everything. He was going to take his life and give it to God. Offered. To give up. To give over. Well, how much of Isaac was he going to give? I don't think he was holding anything back, dear friend. The Bible reveals to us that Abraham had this idea. He was going to kill him, but God was going to raise him back up because God had to keep his promise. He wasn't going to hold anything back because he was going to give everything because he believed that God would give everything back.
Amen.
How much do we give to God in this presentation when we offer? Well, we give him everything. Or at least we're supposed to. For some reason, most of us have a hard time giving everything up to the Lord. We like to give most, but not all. You suppose that God's satisfied with most? The power, the purpose, the presentation, number four, the person. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. I think it's important for us to encourage one another. Don't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, out there in the world, people tear you down. If you want somebody to tear you got your family to tear you down. But in here, this ought to be a place of encouragement.
Amen.
I mean, this ought to be a place where people are built up. The Bible uses words like edify. To build up. And we ought to be encouraging to each other. I want to tell you, I'm encouraged that you're here today.
Amen.
I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. Every time somebody comes back to church, I'm encouraged.
Amen.
I'm glad when anybody shows up the first time, but man, when they come back again, it's wow, praise the Lord. It's good. I appreciate it when somebody comes through and shakes my hand and says, I appreciate the message, brother, or something kind like that. Whether you mean it or not, I appreciate it. I mean, it's encouraging. Everybody awake now? It's good to be encouraged. And I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to encourage one another and build one another up. But I want you to know something. There's not a being on the planet, or in the universe for that matter, that is worthy of our praise besides God. The person to God. Who do we give this praise to? Not to ourselves. Not to the church. Certainly not to the pastor. The praise doesn't go to our nation. The praise doesn't go to our family. The praise doesn't go to our friends. No different. Our praise goes to God and God alone.
Amen.
By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Man, it's Him that deserves all the honor and glory and praise. And you remember Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And we could take the rest of the morning and just go through the Psalms, and we could go through the Revelation, and we could go through so much of the Bible, and we could look at verse after verse after verse that tells us to praise Him. To give Him honor and glory, for His mercy endureth forever. But it's Him, friends, that we owe this sacrifice of praise. We see the power, the purpose, the presentation, the person. Notice also the perpetuity. He says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. When should we praise Him? Continually. What does that word mean? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When should we praise Him? When should we give the sacrifice of praise? Well, when things are good. You know, Josiah's been sick for a few days. He's still running fever, but he's all right. Nothing serious. We're going to have quattro tomorrow. I'm driving to church this morning, Abigail and I, and we're listening to some music on the radio and singing along, and I've got a good cup of coffee, and the sun is shining, and I was just rejoicing in my soul. It was good. And I have no idea what a good cup of coffee has to do with it, but it was part of it. And I'm just thinking about how blessed I am. And we ought to give thanks to God when it's good. But you know, sometimes it's not good. When you get the call that somebody in your family is just been rushed to the hospital and they don't expect them to make it, it's not good. But you know, you ought to praise God in that time too. Well, how could you praise God in a time like that? Well, because He's there. And I can cry out to Him and He'll hear me. We ought to praise Him continually, giving thanks always. For all things. Hey, can I remind you this morning that whatever happens in your life, God knew it was going to happen?
Yep.
I still love that saying. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Everything that happens in your life is Father filtered. And if He's allowed it into your life, there's a purpose. And you can give thanks for it. Even if something bad happened in your life because you sinned, you ought to be thankful that God loves you enough to chastise you.
Yeah.
Now, you don't think that way when you're in the middle of it. I never once was like, oh, thank you, Mama, so much for this spanking. This is wonderful. I mean, you don't think like that at the time, but now I look back and I say, thank God that my mom loved me enough to wear my tail end out. Every time I needed it, and sometimes when I didn't. No, when things are good, when things are bad, when things are hard. Continually. The perpetuity of this sacrifice of praise. And then I want you to look lastly at the prescription. He kind of breaks it down for us. Tells us all about it, and then he says, that is. And he's going to clarify what this is. He gives us the prescription for it. He gives us the plan for it. How do we do this sacrifice of praise? He says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I want you to think about the fruit of our lips for a second. If you go to the grocery store, they have a place called the produce section. Now, some of you didn't know that because it's not where the donuts are. But they have this area of the grocery store. It's called the produce section. You know why it's called produce? Because it's fruit and vegetables. You know what that is? That's the result of some harvest. It's the fruit. It's the bounty. It's the harvest. And God says here that the fruit of our lips needs to give thanks to his name, the produce. So what is the produce of our lips? What is the thing that is the fruit that comes out of our mouths? In Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of things ought to come out of our lips? Praise and thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
Glorifying him. But I want you to know something today. The fruit of our lips must come from a right heart. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. Man, if you just took that part of the verse, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, listen, they come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. That's great. Except he said, but their heart is far from me. Here's what I'll never understand. I want to challenge you with this today. I see so many people, and here's the challenge before us. God says, I want you to have a right heart when you sing my praises. I want you to have a right heart when you give thanks to my name. I want you to have a right heart. And the challenge is when you come in here on a Sunday morning, we open up our hymnals and we sing, you ought to sing from your heart to God. And you know what the response of somebody whose heart's not right is? So many times the response should be, well, my heart's not right, so I'm going to get my heart right so I can sing from my heart to God. But you know what most of us do? My heart's not right today, so I'm just not going to sing. What in the world? Why wouldn't we get our heart right so we can worship the God who gave himself for us?
Amen.
Who lives forevermore? No, we've got to have a right heart. Why? Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This sacrifice of praise has to come from a right heart. Well, preacher, how do you get your heart right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You want to have a right heart today? The only reason your heart's not right because you've got unconfessed sin in your heart. You want to get your heart right? Confess your sin to God. You know you sinned. He knows you sinned. Nobody's surprised by this deal, so why don't you just tell him?
Amen.
If we'll confess our sin to the Lord, if we'll turn away from that sin and turn to God, he'll give us a right heart. That way the fruit of our lips can be real when we give thanks, when we give thanks to his name. It's interesting, this phrase, give thanks, in our Bible. When you study it out, it's used or rendered confess or profess. Let me give you an example. Acts 24:14, but this I confess. It's the same word, give thanks. This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. How did the Apostle Paul give thanks? Well, he confessed Jesus. You know, they're attacking me because I say Jesus died and rose again. And that's right. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Hey, you want to know something, friend? That glorifies God our Father. When you're willing to confess before men, Jesus is my Savior. He died and rose again to save me and to save you. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. You're familiar with it. It's at the end of what we call the Roman road. He says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's the same thing, this confessing. To confess that Jesus is Lord. To confess unto salvation. Listen to me. God's glorified when a sinner like me and a sinner like you humbles themselves before God and says, God, I need you to be my Savior. Jesus, you are Lord. And I have no hope without you. God's glorified. That's a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. How about this one? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Profess the name of Jesus. Gives thanks to his name. I want you to understand something about this praise. It has to do with our attitude of our heart. But it also has to do with the action of our life. If you look there in our text, verse 15 and 16, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It's not just about what we say, it's about how we live. Because we can talk the talk, but if we don't walk the walk, it doesn't matter. And so we've got to do good. What does that mean? It means to do good. We're all doing stuff, and we need to make sure the stuff we're doing is good. And he says, communicate. What's that mean? It means to give. It means to share. It means to help people. Communicate. We profess a good profession. When we give thanks. Again, let me remind you one last time about the person, because we're giving thanks to his name. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. In our society today, you can pray to any god or any deity that you want to, unless you pray in the name of Jesus. And why is that? Why is it that people are suddenly up in arms that you would pray in his name? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Because you could say God and mean anything. But when you say Jesus, that means everything. Amen. And even unsaved, unrepentant sinners know that there's something about that name. Yep. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There is life everlasting in the name of Jesus. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you have reason to give thanks to his name today? That wasn't a rhetorical question. Try that one more time. Do you have reason to give thanks to his name today? Yes, sir. Listen to me, dear friend. Every person on the planet owes God thanksgiving. But especially those who have been saved by his amazing grace. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever in your life repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ alone? What I'm saying this morning is, do you know 100% for sure when this life is over, when you die, because we're all going to die, when you die, will you be in heaven with God forever? Do you know that today? And if you don't know that today, I want to beg of you that you would come and let us show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you have eternal life. Amen. Jesus died for you. He rose again. And salvation is available to everyone through repentance and faith in Jesus. If you've been saved, is your life a living sacrifice? Do you give this sacrifice of praise to Him continually? Maybe it's been a long time since you just said thank you to the Lord. And by the way, if it's been more than just a little bit, it's been too long. Maybe this morning you just want to come and get on your knees before God and say, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Whatever the Lord would lead you to this morning, we're going to stand together. Get ready for an invitation. If you've never been saved, will you come trust Jesus as your Savior today? Maybe your heart's not right with the Lord and you can't give this sacrifice of praise because your heart's not right. Your heart's not in it. Today, maybe you need to come and confess something to the Lord. Get your heart right so you can live a sacrifice of praise to God. This morning, maybe you just want to come and do that. Your heart is right because of Jesus, because you've been forgiven. And you want to just come and fall on your knees before God and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. If He's convicting your heart, if He's calling you, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 558.
Number 558. Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning, would you come?